Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. You want to say what you just said on the air? Yeah, that's so mean that you said that to him. Go ahead, say it.
You're chubby. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
You accuse me of doing something that I clearly did.
I didn't.
Have to pay the consequence.
Is that being called chubby?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was allowed in this day and age to be able to say horribly mean things like that. One week out of you
horribly
got your Christmas bonus. Good grief. That's a horrible thing to say to me. Yeah, just because I'm on Nutrisystem the last 2 weeks, suffering and dying here.
Snowflakes.
I'm not being a snowflake. I haven't even talked about it, you know. Except I have to teach Ethan how to actually do it right, and you got to take the put the slices in the thing, and then put it in for X minutes.
Hey, I've been cooking your food good, okay?
Oh man, you know, you get two stuffed shells for dinner. I'm like, wow, this is just There's like five dishes that taste great. The others suck. I mean, that's just all there is to it. I only like five. So I keep eating the same five all over again. And that's what I've been doing for 2 weeks. It is so pathetic. It really is. But it worked. I lost like, you know, 7-8 pounds. But now I'm stuck. It's not moving the needle anymore. That's frustrating to me.
You have nothing left to lose.
Okay. I do. I know I do. Everyone can stop lying. The only one that was honest was Jason. And he called me chubby. You know? But by the way, he's not exactly the fittest, you know, specimen himself in there. So let's be honest about it.
Well, you're right. I have gained a few pounds.
I'm
close to 190 pounds, which is very scary.
I'm about 195, 6 feet, 195. How tall are you?
5'10 and a half.
See, you're chubbier than I am. What are you? Who are you to talk? What is that all about?
Now this is war words, right? No, okay.
But
now,
by the way,
Jason's fat, okay.
Muscle is heavier than fat, and I have built muscles that I never thought I had in my life by training 5 days a week.
Yeah, that's good for you, okay? I admit that you train a lot, and I binge on cookies, okay?
Is there any particular cookie that
the
you like?
We Oreo can get lemon cream cookies.
Oreo lemon cream?
Oh, yeah.
You see, the problem with
me... I get the family pack, not
the regular. This is the problem that we're all going to experience over Christmas. Because if I eat one cookie... I think I'll have one cookie, just one little cookie, little Oreo, little, you know, Lorna Doone or shortbread cookie, whatever the hell it is, and I'll eat one. I just want one more. I'll get some milk and put some ice in it, so it's super cold. And the next thing, I eat the whole freaking thing, and I'm like, I can't stop it. It's like eating potato chips. You can't eat one potato chip. It's impossible. It drives me nuts.
And the worst thing is I eat them before I go to sleep.
And the worst part is my son is super fit and he likes eats salads with chicken. I'm like, what? How did you get this? You didn't get it from me because that's not how I roll. But when he wants to eat, it's two Big Macs and a quarter pounder. Three of them with huge French fries and a large Coke. Or if you go to dinner, he orders two entrees and literally... It's like watching an artist carve up, you know, a steak and carve up and he has a system that he eats with. And I'm like sitting there saying, how you don't gain a pound. It is so frustrating. Anyway, how's everybody today?
I'm in the mood for Shake Shack.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in the mood for something. I don't know. Certainly not in the mood for my Nutrisystem. But listen, it did work. I tried it. Tried a number of diets over there. You know what? The one that works the best is that NJ diet. That's the one. But the problem is you can't have a beer at the end of the day. And I'm not taking any more diets where you can't drink beer. I'm just not. I refuse to. I absolutely refuse. Because then I have one and I feel guilty because I have my beer to try and fall asleep at night on my MyPillow. That's it. That's heaven for me. That's when the brain begins to shut down. That's when Netflix comes on. I know everybody tunes into the show just to hear me ranting about food. Anyway, glad you're with us. There's so much news today. Oh, and there's a Boston professor that claims Jingle Bells is racist. That's the war on... I'm not making it up. Why do you say... Why do you look at me like... You think I make this stuff up? I don't make it up. I mean, remember the whole thing? Melania Trump donated Dr. Seuss books? You know, Hop on Pop. Somehow that turned out to be racist, according to another Boston professor. You know, Boston has this, you know, left-wing liberal ideology up there that's just so out of touch with what... Anyway, I haven't even dug deep into the article to find out why Jingle Bells is racist, but we'll look as the program unfolds. We'll find it. We'll get to it. We do have some good news, although I'm a little puzzled, bewildered by how it is Senator Marco Rubio now saying he may not support the conference bill. My understanding was that his amendment got a vote on the Senate floor and it got voted down. And I guess the bill goes into conference and now he's demanding that he gets his. They'll work it out. I don't think Senator Rubio is going to be the holdup on this thing. I hope not. Anyway, so we'll get to the. But, you know, let me tell you what's going to happen. And we'll talk to Steve Moore later in the program. You mark my words. Economic growth that you never saw in the Obama years. Every single economic barometer that I would talk about in this last election in 2016 is now much better, infinitely better, because of the policies, the deregulation, the promise of this bill passing for businesses, not just in America, but, you know, we're talking about job. Go to Carrier, go to Ford, go to Chrysler, all these companies, Apple, others, they're all willing to spend money now and build their factories here in America. Why? Because the president just was talking about 22 regulations canceled. He wiped off the table. Maybe he only promised, I think, 2-1, but 22 are wiped away for every one new regulation now government is taking on. We don't need burdensome regulation. People forget the president pulling out of this idiotic climate change nonsense in Paris is having a huge impact on our economy. And I can promise you the people in China and Japan don't care about these climate accords that are going to stifle the opportunity for people to work and provide for themselves and their families. But if you look at the indicators I always talk about, all right, well, food stamps. Well, we have the lowest rate in 7 years of people on food stamps. How did that happen? By accident? I don't think so. You know, how is it possible we have fewer people in poverty? How is it possible the labor participation rate has literally turned around since the election in 08? In 16, you know, we now have 2 million jobs already created. This is not a hard model to follow. It works. Now, I know they dropped the top marginal rate from 39.5 to 37. Mild reduction in rate. If you live in a blue state with high spending and high taxing governors that the people elect, like my neighbors in New York, then you know what? You may not get the tax cut everybody else is getting. But red states have been subsidizing high taxed blue states for a long time because they don't get the same benefit. But they're the ones that are electing fiscally responsible governors that in many cases don't even have a state income tax. How is it Florida and Texas, they're like magnet states at this point? Why? Because people in California, they're flocking to Texas. People in New York, New Jersey, and Illinois, they're flocking to Florida. They're flocking to the Carolinas because they're trying to get away from the burdensome state taxes that literally drag their families down every year. It's not their money. If Florida and Texas can live without a income tax, a state income tax, well, why can't these other states at least do a minimal tax if they really need it? And I've never seen worse roads, worse broken down, dilapidated infrastructure than you can see in New York City. It's like rotting before our eyes. It's unbelievable. And yet these other states, they're doing fine. They don't have a state income tax. They don't have these high property taxes. They don't have these high sales taxes. And anybody that tells you that, in fact, as it relates to government, that corporations pay tax, they're just lying to you. Corporations don't pay taxes. They pass it on to the consumers. That's it. So that rate, 35% for corporations to pay tax, it just means their cost of their goods and services are going higher. It's not that hard to comprehend this. By the way, we got a lot as it relates to all of this corruption within the deep state. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes today is getting so fed up with the FBI and their stonewalling. He has now threatened to hold the agency in contempt of Congress. Now, Nunes was not a happy man after the FBI director Andrew McCabe bailed on his scheduled Tuesday testimony. By the way, after this release by Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, I'd like to know if they were talking about this insurance policy with Andrew McCabe. It seems like that's who they were talking about. I bet that's who they were talking about anyway. But despite the DOJ, Department of Justice, emailing the committee as late as 7:23 p.m. Monday night in preparation for McCabe's testimony, the agency blamed a scheduling conflict. Well, how is the FBI deputy director? How does he have a scheduling conflict? You know, I would think that you have a pretty locked down schedule and knew that this was coming, unless he said an emergency came up would be a far better excuse if he wanted to get out of it. Anyway, Nunes told reporters he's extremely troubled. The scheduling conflict was not really believable to him, though he allowed McCabe to reschedule without issuing any subpoenas. We have a commitment again that McCabe is going to show up next Tuesday, December 19th. Let's get as close to Christmas as we can get. This way people aren't going to be paying attention. That's how that game is played. And if none of that is followed up with, then we will move forward with contempt and we'll issue additional subpoenas. He's also sending investigators to the DOJ Thursday to do a scrub of documents that the agency has yet to provide that have been asked for forever. That's why these investigations go on so long. Now, you heard about this and the whole insurance policy, you know, the lines between Peter Strzok and his girlfriend, Lisa Page. Well, it turns out, by the way, that these text messages, and I mentioned this yesterday, we only had about 375 of them between the pro-Hillary, Trump-hating Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. The Justice Department is still withholding from Congress 9,600 additional texts between the two Trump-bashing lovebirds. Now, Byron York reports today that the Justice Department showed the text to reporters on Tuesday night prior to the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein's appearance before the House Judiciary yesterday. An official said that there are about 10,000 of these texts in all. Reporters were only shown, Fox broke it first, 375 of the 10,000. So that was clearly a press strategy, not a disclosure strategy, especially since Congress got the same thing reporters got. But anyway, a source familiar with the matter on Capitol Hill said that the House Intelligence Committee received a batch of texts from that the DOJ presented to reporters, which means the committee only got 375 out of the 10,000. And the source added that the department promised to provide more texts on a rolling basis. What do you mean on a rolling basis? How about you release the texts on an immediate basis? I don't know why, if I was subpoenaed, why I would think I don't have the option of a rolling, you know, rolling out the information to the Justice Department or a congressional committee. And I wouldn't have the right to use acid wash and bleach bit and delete the emails and have one of my employees bashing my devices so you can't get information from them. Yes, Hillary, the same one that was protected by Peter Strzok and James Comey that were writing the exoneration before they even did the investigation. Welcome to the United States of America, Banana Republic.
What, like with a cloth or something?
I don't know. Oh, no, with a cloth? Ah, it's that time of year. So we were supposed to have a big, big TikTok today. It has now been put off till tomorrow, but it is coming. It is, what is the president? Huge, as the president says. It's massive. It is going to be pretty, when you hear it tomorrow, you will know it. And we will be, well, the people that are breaking the story will be on this program exclusively and on Hannity tomorrow night exclusively. Well, I can't give that hint. If I give hints, people are too smart. This audience is way too smart. So I'm not going to give a hint in any way, shape, matter, or form. All right. Now, remember this guy, Bruce Orr? He's the guy that was four doors down from Rod Rosenstein. And he was meeting with the guys from Fusion GPS, the group that put together the phony, salacious, Russian, bought and paid for Hillary propaganda to influence the election in that collusion case. Anyway, last night it was revealed that, in fact, Bruce Orr's wife literally not only worked for Fusion GPS, talk about a conflict there. Don't people ever recuse themselves anymore? Conflicts of interest? Well, anyway, so Bruce Orr's wife was working on op research in their investigation of Trump. Well, now I think we have a right to know, did he work on the phony, salacious, Hillary bought and paid for Russia propaganda dossier? Because I think we deserve an answer for that. Now, Glenn Simpson said in a declaration filed in federal court in D.C. that he met at Orr's request weeks after the presidential election. And Simpson said that Orr, who recently held the position of the deputy assistant attorney general, sought the meeting to discuss the findings regarding Russia and the election. Well, maybe he was hearing that from his wife. This is so corrupt. And of course, you got Lisa Page. Then you got this guy, Strzok, who's up to his eyeballs, Peter Strzok and everything. And Peter Strzok, he's the one that worked with Comey to put the fix in for Hillary on the email investigation. He also gave a pass to the lying of Cheryl Mills. He was in that interview. And Uma Abedin and Hillary Clinton, they all get a pass. He's also involved in the General Flynn. And General Flynn, well, has to cop to lying to the FBI. Pretty amazing. Anyway, we'll get to all of that. We'll also get your calls in 800-941-SHAWN. An investigative report with Sarah Carter today is really, really important about surveillance unmasking and the Obama administration. All right, only two words you need to remember while making your list and checking it twice this holiday season. Tommy John. They are the revolutionary men's underwear, T-shirt, sock brand, and they have redefined comfort for men everywhere, including and especially me. All Tommy John underwear is crafted from the most comfortable fabric you'll ever use. It's impossible to be uncomfortable in Tommy John. Plus, their innovation never takes a day off at Tommy John, even during the holidays. They're constantly thinking of new ways to give you the best product you've ever tried. Like their patented undershirts I wear every day. Well, they stay tucked in and literally pull perspiration right off your body. And also, Tommy John, their underwear is backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, guarantee, or it's free from TommyJohn.com. So give the gift of life-changing comfort for the holidays. TommyJohn.com/Hannity. You get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Hannity. Plus, you get extra savings with exclusive holiday daily deals only at TommyJohn.com/Hannity. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. A blockbuster report from Sarah Carter is coming out today. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Also, Judicial Watch. The State Department makes a deal with Hillary Clinton. She gets to keep her call log and schedules secret. Who makes that deal? Well, somebody that's running for president that has an insider wanting to help her. There's all concessions made all across every single venue of government. The FBI, James Comey, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page. It's so disgustingly corrupt on every level. You know, they lie all the time. I never sent or received classified information. Lie. I kept one device. Lie. You know, everything is proven to be false. All right, 800-941. Chuck Palmer is in Orlando, Florida. News Radio 96.5.
It's one of those.
WDB. No, I need to get. Yeah, WDBO. I'm going to get killed here. All right, what's going on, my friend? How are you in Orlando paradise?
Hey Sean. Merry Christmas. And I couldn't help but hear that you're working on your weight. In my industry, I'm an anti-aging consultant. I've been in nutrition and weight loss forever. And I like you. Like you a lot. We got to keep you healthy. And you were being really silly in your commentary with your associates.
No, I have an engineer who just called me chubby. I mean, and I'm like, thanks a lot. That's mean.
Doesn't he know how big and strong you are? He really called you chubby.
By the way, they all know not to mess with me. Trust me.
Right.
Nobody likes what I do when we start doing martial arts stuff here.
Exactly. And that's another thing. I'm an ex-martial artist. So a couple of things I wanted to share with you. Lauren kind of roped me in here. I just wanted to call and get you some advice, and I gave Lauren something for you to check out. So
okay.
There's nothing here for me.
Right.
So basically, you know, the system you're using, you know, it does work for a lot of people, but unfortunately, there's not that education that you need.
No, it actually works for me. I mean, Nutrisystem works. I lost 8 pounds, but now, like the last 3 or so days, I've been doing it perfectly, and I haven't lost a pound. I'm getting annoyed.
Well, here's the question. It does work, but you need a lifestyle program, something you can do every day. So when you look at food on the table, you can break them up into categories.
Okay.
You know what food is going to benefit you and the other food that's not going to benefit you.
Uh-huh.
I call it go caution and stop. GoFoods, caution suits.
Well, can't they make a pill that just gets rid of the extra 10 pounds? There's no pill that does that?
Now,
they have a pill for everything.
Sean, they do make a pill, actually.
What's it called?
They really do. It's called hormonal balance. It's called optimizing your hormones because us guys go into andropause. Like the women go into menopause. So there's so many wonderful things for science offering men today that there's no reason to have that metabolic syndrome and be heavy around the middle. There's no reason.
Wait a minute. What's it called? Tell me what it's called again.
You want to optimize your hormonal system.
Right.
And I don't know how deeply you want to get into this on the air, but there are options for men that...
So you're basically saying that I'm going through male menopause. Is that what you're saying to me? I'm listening to you.
How old are you?
I'm 55.
You're absolutely going through male menopause. You can't help it. That's your age. I'm 57. We can't help it.
You know what? The guy that called me chubby is really pissing me off. Go ahead, put your microphone on. He's sitting there laughing his little butt off
inside
there.
I'm just saying that male menopause explains some things.
Like,
okay?
Explains what? What are you talking about?
This. Look what's happened to
me. There's nothing that's happened to me.
Oh, yeah. You're not right.
Sean, listen. You're mentally very strong. You got a good, strong character, and that carries a lot of us guys. But if you're not Sean Hannity or Paul McCollier, there's help out there. I mean, how many times do you see a 60, 70, 80-year-old guy all bent over pushing the carriage for his wife from the grocery store, and you feel like going up to him and saying, dude, stand up straight. You know, there's an opportunity for you to have quality of life at this age.
Listen, I have never worked out or trained more frequently or harder in my life than I do now. I mean, I do it 5 days a week, and it's, you know, hour and 15 minutes, and it's hard, and it's, you know, it's cardio, it's jiu-jitsu, it's kempo, it's Krav Maga, it's boxing, it's core building. I mean, I do at least 100, sometimes 200 sit-ups a day, and at least 100 push-ups a day, every day.
And that is good information for somebody like me, because several things. My red flags go off. You're probably overtraining. Your choice of training isn't really stimulating your muscle. You're kind of cannibalizing or breaking down your muscle. And the fact that you and I are entering that age of andropause.
No, we actually include in it. We do some lifting, but we don't do it a lot. Okay. And I do bands because I've got joints that are messed up. What?
I got joint issues too. But here's the kicker. If we're metabolically, or I should say hormonally off, and we aren't optimized, the training has an adverse effect on our bodies. So if we are low in those hormonal areas, you and I are really taking a beating at the gym. We can't recover, and we can't make gains. In fact, we make losses, and we end up losing that lean muscle tissue, which slows down the metabolism, which causes the weight gain.
Well, there's a couple of things that my real goals are. Number one, I want to stay in top physical shape that I can. Number two, I do it for self-defense purposes, basically because I'm a target. Number three, the cardio aspect of boxing is, as you know, I'm sure, I think one of the best workouts you can do. And I mean, it's like I'm a minute as hard as I can hit, then 20, 30 seconds off, then I do it again, then I do it again, then I do it again. I mean, it's...
I agree. And martial arts is a mixed monster of exercise. It's anaerobic, anaerobic. Aerobic means with oxygen, anaerobic means without. But it's the anaerobic stimuli our muscles need to advance.
All right, I don't need all the science behind it. What's the pill? That's all I want to know. I'm a bottom line guy here. Give me the bottom line.
I know you are, and I appreciate it. The pill is a small pellet of testosterone in the subcutaneous area of your white quadrant of your butt cheek.
Is this legal?
You
want me to shoot testosterone into me?
No, I didn't say shoot. There's better ways to do it.
In my butt cheek, first of all. You know, so you take testosterone. You're telling me you take testosterone.
Well, I use testosterone pellets. Absolutely.
Is that legal?
Absolutely. Yes, of course it is.
You have to get a doctor's permission, right?
Here's what you got to do. You got to find an expert, first of all, in anti-aging. And that's the difficulty. So
let me tell you about my doctor. My doctor, well, and he's the one that got me into martial arts. Five or whatever, mm-hmm. how many years, 6 years ago. And mm-hmm. he's, you know, a black belt with multiple degrees now. So
of course.
He's never going to let me do that. He'll knock me out before I ever do that.
Well, you know what? If I'm a guy, and I am. And every guy in the United States of America who's over the age 50 should go get a baseline testosterone. And if it's under where it should be, then live as you live. But if you want better quality, and if you want to be in your 70s and 80s and have that quality, I mean, we're all
what are the long-term implications for one's heart? Because
oh my God, your heart has the most testosterone receptors than any organ in your body. It needs testosterone. If not, you get arteriosclerosis, which is hardening of the arteries. So you do want if so. If
let me ask you this: do you also like use HGH?
That's not a big bang for your book. For your buck, actually, when you accelerate your testosterone levels, your HGH levels kind of parallel that and increase. But that's kind of a recovery from post-surgery for soft tissue injury. It doesn't do much for the muscular system and or the heart, for that matter. All HGH is 181 collective amino acids that are injected.
Listen, I've read enough to tell you this. I actually see that and know people that do this, that have done this. And there seems to be a benefit, but I think there's a risk-benefit reward to this. And I think I'm not an expert. I just prefer naturally. I'm kidding, really, when I talk about, oh, isn't there a pill that you just take and there goes the extra 10 pounds you can never get rid of.
Of course.
You know, but in all honesty, all that stuff, putting this crap in my body is just not something that I'm inclined to ever do.
And you're adorable, but you know we're not talking about.
I'm adorable. Adorable.
Because he said the word crap. Okay, but things that your body produces, it needs when it can't produce it. So testosterone is clearly not crap. Neither is estrogen or progesterone for women. So what do you think?
I'm also a kind of believer. Well, all right. I appreciate your input. I really do. Thank you. All right. 800-941 Sean is our number. You want to be a part of the program? What has happened to the show? I'll get it on. I promise I'll get back on focus at some point. Tim in Stockton, California. What's up, Tim?
Hello, Sean. Good afternoon. Tim the trucker, sir. Here you go.
Yes, sir. You're a great American.
Hey, I would say screw everybody. Go up to In-N-Out Burger, have a veggie wrap, and enjoy yourself. You only live once, Sean.
I think God already knows the day I'm going to die anyway. I don't know. You know, there's actually a biblical quote to that who, by taking thought, can add 1 inch to their stature or 1 second to their life. You can't. You know, I have a certain faith and a belief that, you know, when it's your day's done, you're done. And there's nothing I'm going to be able to do to stop it. But with that said, I think, you know, we should take good care of the body that God gave us. That I believe.
Question for you. When you were in Texas, did you have In-N-Out Burger? Because you love it so much, I'm 5 minutes away.
You're making my mouth water.
Sorry.
I like In-N-Out Burger.
Come on, I'll buy you all the ones you want.
I want the rights to build it here in New York because they don't have one in New York. I'd pay for those rights tomorrow.
Come out to California, I'll buy you all the In-N-Out you want. Veggie wrap, animal style, french fries.
I like it animal style and a lettuce wrap. It's great. All right, Tim, thank you. Kelly is in Minnesota. Kelly, how are you?
Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on? What could I do for you?
Yeah, I am a 33-year-old stay-at-home mom of three beautiful little children. I've never done any call-in like this, so I'm a little nervous. But I'm very engaged in politics. I'm a millennial.
Yeah.
I'm nervous. And
By the way, no reason to be nervous. Everybody that's listening to this show is a friend of yours. And in the sense that the number one fear people have is speaking in public. And I'm telling you, you're doing perfect. Don't worry.
Well, thank you very much. I got two questions for you.
Okay.
The first question is there any way that Jeff Sessions can unrecuse himself?
Yes.
And then
absolutely, he could do it today. Absolutely.
Okay, so it's just more a political move.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was a mistake, and I think as a result of that mistake, I think it has gotten us into the situation we are. I do have sources that have told me he did not, for example, recuse himself on, I think it was issues involving the campaign because he was a Trump surrogate. I mean, it's interesting, everything we're finding out, all the anti-Trump, pro-Hillary people that are involved in this mess. But so I would argue and say to you that, I think he probably should do exactly that.
Well, I called I called the Attorney General's office today and just left a voicemail voicing support for that. I don't know if there's anything else I can do. Again, it's nothing that I've ever done before, but I feel like I have to do something, which kind of piggybacks on my next question, is that being a millennial and being a God-loving person filled with faith and conservative values, is
there enough of... Let me tell you, I promise you I'm all over this, okay? In ways that I can't even tell on radio and TV. Does that help you feel better?
Yes, and hopefully you can continue to make me feel better. Is there, because when I go to bed at night, you know, I say my prayers and thankful of life and everything like that, I pray so much for the future because I feel like my generation is the next people to come into, you know, the middle-aged people.
Let me tell you something. It's our job to protect this country for you. That's the spoke in the wheel I was talking about earlier. All right, I got to run, though, Kelly. God bless you. I really wish you well, and we're going to do our best. Chris in Georgia, real quick, Chris. You got about 45 seconds. Go.
Hey, Sean. I've been taking testosterone shots since I was 38. My body doesn't produce it, so I have to
take it. Well, that's different. I mean, there's a medical purpose for you. You need it.
Right.
I've never had it tested that I know of. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm 50, so I've been taking it for a long time, and it's done me no ill effect, and that's great.
Well, I'm talking about people that are, you know, that take it just, you know, like, look, if performance-enhancing drugs work, they just do, and you can see it, you know, when we went through all of this with baseball, and who was it, Jose Canseco wrote the book Juiced, we found out it was widespread. It's happening everywhere, and if it didn't work, they wouldn't be doing it. And, you know, I'm sure there's benefits, but look, I don't want to be everybody's doctor here. I just don't. Anyway, but I do want an In-N-Out burger. You know, another good burger is in Salt Lake City. It's called a Crown Burger. They actually put pastrami on it. It's so good. No, it is off the hook good.
Sounds good for your diet.
My buddy Rod, stop. I can dream, can I?
Salt and fat.
Exactly. My two favorites. Jason.
Yeah, let me catch you eating one of those, boy.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. What do you eat every day? You eat crap all day long. You got candy back behind you.
I eat crap all day long?
Look, it looks like Halloween behind you over there with all the garbage you got.
I'm insulted. I had a chicken wrap with vegetables in it.
Where's my pizza? I need a piece of pizza.
I mean, let's back up and recall where we have been. The president of the United States accused his predecessor, President Obama, of wiretapping Trump Tower during the campaign. Nothing of the sort occurred.
Did you seek the names of people involved in, to unmask the names of people involved in the Trump transition, the Trump campaign, people surrounding the president-elect?
Let me be clear.
In order to spy on them,
absolutely,
order to expose them.
Absolutely not for any political purposes to spy, expose anything. I really don't know to what Chairman Nunes was referring, but he said that whatever he was referring to was a legal, lawful surveillance and that it was potentially incidental collection
right.
on American citizens. And I think it's important for people to understand what incidental means. That means that the target was either a foreign entity or somebody under criminal investigation.
Did the pace accelerate during the transition, perhaps in early December, perhaps when the president ordered an investigation into the hacking, the Russian hacking? Did the pace of unmasking requests, of your unmasking requests, accelerate toward the end of the White House tenure?
And I can't say the pace of unmasking requests would accelerate, but if you're asking were there more reports provided to senior U.S. officials after the president requested the compilation of the intelligence, which was ultimately provided in January, yes. What happened was, as the IC went about the business...
The intelligence community went about the business of following up on the president's order.
Fulfilling the president's request for such a report. They went back and scrubbed more reports. They began to provide more such reports to American officials, including myself. This is not anything political has been alleged. The allegation is that somehow Obama administration officials utilized intelligence for political purposes. That's absolutely false.
That's not my question. My question was,
we're getting ready to maybe reauthorize 702. I don't think we ought to reauthorize it until we find out from the intelligence community where there are no indictments that have been issued against the intelligence community based upon the statements that you have made to see whether or not they're violating the law, and they refuse to give this committee the information about how many people have been caught up in that. And we've been stonewalled by the intelligence community saying, well, we just can't do it. Why can't the intelligence community get some geek over at Best Buy and have them come in and answer that question with a few little taps into the big computer system? We just want the number.
The time of the gentleman has expired. The witness may answer the question.
As I explained, Congressman, I've heard Director Coates explain this, and he's better positioned than I.
So we don't know. Still don't know.
We're making it a very difficult process. We had such weakness. They go out, kill people, then they come back and they go back home to mom and dad. Okay? Before they went nutso and start over here. We're making it very difficult. You see what's being happened. We're watching every single one. We have thousands of people right now under surveillance. Slow surveillance. That sounds familiar. That sounds familiar. Remember when I suggested something like that? Everyone said, Trump? Why is he said, well, it turned out I was right about that one, wasn't I?
He was more right than even he knew at the time. Glad you're with us. Hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Toll free, our telephone number is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Of course, you first heard Susan Rice. She herself has been involved in this, well, surveillance, unmasking, and then leaking of raw intelligence. No minimization taking place. Nobody ever talks about how General Flynn, a lot of the information they got on him was because he was unmasked. It looks like illegally. Minimization didn't occur. And on top of that, raw intelligence was leaked, which kind of almost set a perjury trap up for him. You know, oh, he lied to the FBI. I didn't even know he was really being fully, completely interviewed by the FBI. And it goes on from there. How is it possible the UN ambassador was unmasking an American a day? And why would they ask for these things? And as it relates to surveillance and the FISA warrant and everything in between, we've got to ask, oh, was that the predicate? Was that the foundation to go into the FISA court and to get a warrant to listen to then-candidate Donald Trump and his team, the opposition party, in the middle of a presidential election? Is that what happened? Or was it post-election and president-elect, and they didn't think he was going to win, and now they needed an insurance policy, going back to yesterday's story about this guy Strzok and his comments with his little girlfriend, Lisa Page? Anyway, we have new developments on this story today. Sarah Carter, investigative journalist, joins us. The program can be misused by anyone with access to it, says an intelligence official with direct knowledge of the program. And the NSA surveillance program that's supposed to monitor foreigners was also being used by the FBI as a backdoor to gain access to American communications, and not successful in thwarting terror attacks, according to numerous former U.S. intelligence and law enforcement officials with knowledge of this program. Now, these whistleblowers have recently disclosed the program's process to congressional oversight committees, and they say concern over warrantless surveillance mounted when it was disclosed this year that Obama officials had accessed and unmasked communications of members of President Trump's campaign without clear justification during the 2016 election. You understand what this means? This is illegal. This is, what is your Fourth Amendment constitutional rights against illegal search and seizure? We have very stringent requirements that you must show probable cause, and that the government, if this is the beginning of a police state, if they can monitor your text messages, your emails, your phone calls without a warrant. And that apparently was going on with regularity. Sarah Carter joins us now. How are you?
I'm doing great, Sean. Thank you.
Let's get into the meat and potatoes of this blockbuster report that you have here. Now, you first discussed the issue of surveillance, unmasking, no minimization, leaking intelligence a long time ago, but the story has now grown out significantly as it relates to Obama, deep state holdovers, Obama, you know, people like Samantha Powers and Susan Rice and Ben Rhodes. We heard Susan Rice totally denying any political motive, but I don't think that's true.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think going all the way back when we started breaking these stories earlier in the year, and based on documentation, actually, from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Courts, you know, about the FISA and how they chided the Obama administration for these potential abuses that they said, this over-unmasking, the increase in unmasking, which from 2013 to 2016 was roughly around 300% of looking at American targets. What we discovered here in this story, and what I've been able to do over the past 6 months, is talking to a number of intelligence officials, former and current, that have knowledge of the program. They were saying this program can be misused by anyone that has access to it. And now, the big concern for them, obviously, was when they started noticing these enormous increases, particularly with officials inside the Obama administration, for unmasking persons, some connected to the Trump campaign, some not connected to the Trump campaign. They could have also been unmasking people just talking about people in the Trump campaign at the time, which means if two foreigners were talking about President Trump, that they would then unmask that if they believed it was him. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that how they did it, because Obama loosened the rules, remember? He loosened all those rules, that how they did it was illegal. But what they're saying is that the system itself, how it's structured, how it's developed over the past 16 years since September 11th, one, has never really been changed, and two, does violate the Fourth Amendment rights of Americans, because according to these sources, they are gathering and still gathering all the information on Americans on a daily basis through points throughout the United States, and the FBI is able to kind of use it as a backdoor for warrantless surveillance.
Explain, as you do in your piece today, what reverse targeting is, so people fully, completely understand, you know, what the political motivation is. And I think with the sheer volume of unmasking examples at a rate, I think, if I recall, that you reported 350% increase, there had to be an accelerating during the campaign, an accelerating post Donald Trump's victory. You know, we need to get to the meat and potatoes of what is reverse targeting and why those significant increases matter.
Well, reverse targeting was explained to me this way. It's when the FBI or an intelligence person already knows the person that they're going to target, right? So they know the American that they're going to target. But they use a foreign person to establish a legal pretense to get to that American target, meaning they can't just go after the American target without a warrant. So what they do is they find a person, a foreigner, in that person's call chain, somebody who talked, for example, you don't even need to talk directly to that foreigner. It could be somebody that you talk to that talked directly to that foreigner that they're targeting. So then now you are in their call chain, and then they put your name basically into a bulk FISA if they want to get a warrant. They could say, well, this number's tainted, and just kind of throw it into this bulk collection and have it signed off. Or they just look at it for a counterintelligence purpose, which would be the warrantless, right? When they look at it with warrantless searching. So they basically use a foreigner to get to you.
So basically you're saying, let's say you're you could even use an ambassador from even a friendly country as a means of unmasking and listening in on an American's conversation and the real purpose of it. Now, when Americans are incidentally picked up in terms of the NSA with these powerful tools of intelligence that we provide them, and I mean, they are powerful. I mean, we can listen in on any conversation. We can get any text message. We can get any email. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I've been told by a number of people. In fact, one of the main whistleblowers that I talked to on the record was William Benny. And I know you've interviewed him before, and he spent, you know, nearly 40 years working on signals intelligence operations, you know, with the NSA and with other agencies. And he explained in his words, he said, we really don't even need to worry about, you know, Section 702 or all these changes. He said within the executive order, the original executive order, and within this program is the ability to access anyone's emails.
Well, he took it, but he took it further than that. He told me on this radio program that every single text message, every email, every phone call is captured and metadata stored in these massive facilities in Utah and elsewhere.
That is correct. That is exactly what he said to me as well, Sean. And I went over his statements that are in my story with my sources, with my current and former U.S. intelligence officials who are speaking anonymously, and they said he was 100% right.
That is that. So basically, we don't have Fourth Amendment protections. I got to take a quick break here. We'll come back more with Sarah Carter, investigative reporter. The other question, I guess the natural follow-up question is, do they go into that database now that they have gathered this intelligence? If they begin to target somebody for some other reason, are they able to type in Sean Hannity, Sarah Carter, Linda, the New York accent girl on radio, and anybody else they want? And they, are they able to just pull up names and say, oh, here comes all their phone calls, texts, emails? Can they do that?
Well, we don't know the extent of the alleged abuses, right? Because they're not giving that information to Congress. And this is why, you know, so many members of Congress are so frustrated and upset. We know that right now, with the House Intelligence Committee passed their own bill that requires extensive changes for all of this collection, and they're asking, you know, that the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, it's Stan Coates, that he provide that to them, that they want to know how many people have been unmasked or how many people are being targeted, how many people have been swept up in this. And just to let you know, I really didn't understand it myself. When we first start looking at the details of this program, I had to have these intelligence officials really explain to me the problem with it. So, for example, let's say they're sweeping up names, right? They're not just necessarily targeting. The rule of the program is that they're just kind of throwing a fishnet out there, right? And they're capturing all of this data, all of it. And then if something interesting pops out of that data, then they can look at it. What they had a hard time believing was that they just randomly found all of these connections to the Trump campaign. And even though they said that the president ordered this kind of analysis, you know, of course, on the Russia involvement in the U.S. election, they still said it would be extraordinarily difficult to just sweep up all of this stuff and then find exactly who Kislyak was talking to, unless they were actually targeting the people that were talking to.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, is this part of, you know, we have Lisa Page and Peter Strzok and their text messages, and we're still missing about 10,000 of them. Can't wait to read the rest of this. But in there, when they talk about the insurance policy, does this capacity, or what I am calling weaponizing of our intelligence and shredding our Fourth Amendment constitutional rights, I mean, is that part of what they're talking about? Or is it just the, oh, we've got the Russia phony probe to go back on?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, we'd really have to see the rest of Peter Strzok's and Lisa Page's text messages and really understand if they had been interviewed, what they were being investigated in the first place for them to pull up all of these text messages. Remember, I mean, there had to be some kind of reason. Were they looking at them as far as being leakers? And you're right, the weaponization of this intelligence, you know, the information is so powerful that anybody who has access to somebody's personal emails, telephonic records, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that the person has to commit a crime. The person could be having an affair. The person could be talking about somebody behind their back, planning a business meeting. I mean, these are the things that the intelligence official said to me, and it becomes a very powerful tool, right? This is what
it sounds like the former Soviet Union
do when they go overseas is collect information.
Yeah, it sounds like the former KGB. It sounds like a police state. All right, Sarah, we're going to continue. We'll have more on this tonight on Hannity. Great job, Sarah Carter, once again.
Remember when Democrats knew cutting taxes creates jobs?
Every dollar released from taxation that is spent or invested will help create a new job and a new salary. And these new jobs and new salaries can create other jobs and other salaries.
Do the Democrats in Congress today really like writing welfare checks more than creating paychecks? A JFK Trump tax cut will create jobs for America.
The worst deficit comes from a recession. And if we can take the proper action in the proper time, this can be the most important step we could take to prevent another recession. That is the right kind of a tax cut, both for your family budget and the national budget, resulting from a permanent basic reform and reduction in our rate structure. A creative tax cut, creating more jobs and income, and eventually more revenue. And the right time for that kind of bill, it now appears, In the absence of an economic crisis today, and if the job is to be done in a responsible way, is January 1963. Such a bill will be presented to the Congress for action next year. It will include an across-the-board, top-to-bottom cut in both corporate and personal income taxes. It will include long-needed tax reforms that logic and equity demand. And it will date that cut in taxes to take effect as of the start of next year, January 1963. The billions of dollars this bill will place in the hands of the consumer and our businessmen will have both immediate and permanent benefits to our economy. Every dollar released from taxation that is spent or invested will help create a new job and a new salary. And these new jobs and new salaries can create other jobs and other salaries and more customers and more growth for an expanding American economy. Instead of being permanently saddled with excess planned capacity and the budgetary deficit that is created by this means, our goal must be fuller capacity and full employment and the budgetary surpluses that that kind of employment and capacity can produce.
55 years ago this week, President John F. Kennedy, a Democrat, launched a historic effort to pass sweeping top-to-bottom tax cuts. A half a century later, we're reminded that lowering taxes is neither a Republican or Democrat idea, but an American principle and an American idea. The goal of my administration is for every American to know the dignity of work, the pride of a paycheck, and the satisfaction of a job well done. We want people to love waking up in the morning and going to work just with that incredible enthusiasm that we have in this country. And that's what we're going to be doing, and that's what's going to be happening. Today, we stand on the verge of a new economic miracle. Our economy has already surged to 3% growth, far ahead of schedule, by the way, far, far ahead, in each of the last two quarters. And if we didn't have the hurricanes, we could have hit 4 last quarter. 4. A number that was unthinkable 2 years ago when I started the campaign, and even my first month in office. That was an unthinkable number. And I'll tell you what, it's going to go higher than that. We've created 2.2 million jobs since the election. Unemployment is at a 17-year low. The unemployment rate in the manufacturing business is the lowest in recorded history. Consumer confidence is a 17-point high. Pensions and retirement accounts are soaring as the stock market hits 85 new record highs since the election. How are we doing? Are we doing okay? Not bad, right?
All right, that was the president. Before that, isn't it interesting, the two greatest growth periods in the modern era, not sure if you really want to call the 60s the modern era, that would mean I'm modern, is JFK, his cutting of the top marginal rates. Reagan dropped the marginal rates throughout his presidency from 70 to 28%. Yeah, that's when we saw 21 million new jobs created. That's when revenue to the government doubled, and we even saw GDP growth as high as 7.4%. An amazing track record of success. And you think in the last 8 years under Obama, and you've got 13 million more Americans on food stamps and 8 million more in poverty, and every economic indicator since Donald Trump has become president, since he was elected, has been absolutely phenomenally amazing. He spoke today earlier about cutting 22 regulations for each new regulation government has taken on. Now, that alone has brought business back. Then he's pressured businesses. Hey, the environment is going to be better for you to build your business here. Then the House and the Senate, they got together in conference, and they basically have a preliminary final agreement that should be voted on next week. Not sure what Marco Rubio was doing today by threatening to not vote for the conference bill. I'm sure things will be worked out before then. But anyway, what they have is a bill that will drop the corporate tax from 35% to 21%. What does that mean? First of all, corporations never pay taxes anyway. They pass it on to you, the consumer. That's number one. Number two, the bill will also have an individual top rate of 37%, lower than 39.6%. You know, the only thing that has pissed some people off are people that live in blue states that elect big spending, big taxing, liberal Democrats. Like in California, Jerry Brown, 13.5% state income tax rate. It's 9.9% in the state of New York. Then you pay a city income tax in the city of New York. Well, maybe this will wake up. Maybe red states should no longer be subsidizing the advantages that only blue state taxpayers have. Anyway, Steve Moore is with us, distinguished visiting fellow for the Project for Economic Growth at the Heritage Foundation. He's been actively involved in all of this. What's up with Rubio today?
Disappointing. We need every one of these Republicans. You know, there's only 51 that we had for the vote, and Rubio's got to get with the program. But look, you played that clip from John F. Kennedy. I just can't listen to that enough. I mean, doesn't he sound like Donald Trump? I mean, it almost sounds exactly like almost a carbon copy. In fact, that's really why we're running that ad. And by the way,
that sounds like Reagan.
It sounds like, of course. Well, you know, Reagan got his idea for his tax cut from JFK. And Trump got his idea. I mean, he was working for Trump.
Both
we said
them.
To Trump, do what Reagan did. And that's what we're doing. I'm going to tell you this. If we pass this tax cut, the economy is going to explode. You're going to see 4-5% growth next year. All through the campaign, I would debate Hillary Clinton's economists, Obama's economists. You know this. And they would say two things. Number one, Donald Trump is lying to the American people when he says he can grow the economy at 3%. Well, we're already growing at 3.5%. And number two, remember this, Sean, they'd say he is going to crash the economy. He's going to crash the stock market if he's elected. We've seen the biggest boom in stocks
right
now.
They said the same thing about Reagan, that he'd lead us into the next depression.
Right.
I mean, there's the same predictable doom and gloom. How did I try to explain this? Nobody in the media dared go over Obama's record. But
well,
he's
the worst recovery since
the 40s.
Right.
Lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. Lowest labor participation rate since the 70s. 13 million more Americans on food stamps. 8 million more in poverty.
Never
3%
growth. Not 1 year of 3% growth. And Trump's already done
it. The only president.
Yeah.
The only president. Anyway, so tell us where you think this is headed.
We got to get to 50 in the Senate. I'm worried about John McCain's health. He's a great American hero, and we're going to need him on the Senate floor to vote for this bill. Rubio is making some noise, but I think Rubio at the end of the day is going to be with us. I think we're going to have a bill signing ceremony on Thursday or Friday. I think it's going to be how can anybody argue against this, Sean? Can you name one single statistic with the economy that is moving in the wrong direction?
No.
I mean, every single one is pointed straight north right now. Whether it's – did you see the small business index? More optimism than small businesses have ever had in the last 40 years. We have fewer people signing up for unemployment insurance than 40 years. I mean, Sean, I was the senior economic advisor for Trump during the – it's working better than I thought it would.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we had lofty goals. I mean, it's amazing.
By the way,
part of it is that 22 regulations.
All these
regulations.
People – look at a lot of issues. You know, he takes the handcuffs off our military. We're degrading ISIS at a rate that is even shocking the military. How many presidents promised that Jerusalem will be the capital in Israel? He's the only one that gets it done.
Sorry to interrupt, but this is important. He's the only one of those, 12, 14 Republicans who ran for president, maybe with the exception of one or two others, who would have had the courage to get us out of that insane climate change deal. I know that all the rest of them would have stayed in that, and that's been a very positive thing for the economy. I was in coal mining territory in West Virginia last week. Coal is coming back
By the way, the second largest GDP growth in the country today is West Virginia because of the coal. Hillary was going to kill the business.
Exactly.
Here's what I want to ask: how do you answer? I look at I don't get into this national populist. I'm not a nationalist populist. I'm a conservative. I consider myself a Reagan conservative. Mm-hmm. On Supreme Court justices, on immigration, on his tax plan, on peace through strength, tell me where he is not a Reagan conservative. Maybe trade, but even on trade, Reagan, pushed back countries that weren't being fair.
Maybe on trade. I always told Donald Trump when I first worked with him, the only issue I disagree with you on trade, I'm more of a free trade guy. But I do agree with him. We got to get a lot tougher with China. I'm going to make another statement for your listeners to think about. You just played that clip from John F. Kennedy. Sean, if John F. Kennedy were alive today, he would be a Republican.
Agreed.
There's no doubt about it.
I said that many times.
He would be thrown out of the Democratic Party with those.
100%. All right, we'll continue with Steve Moore in just a minute from the Heritage Foundation. 800-941-SEAN is our number. Hey.
consistently throughout this process, I've outlined the need to increase the refundable part of the child tax credit. As it's currently structured, it's only $1,100, which means a lot of people making $35,000, $40,000, $25,000 working are not going to be able to utilize as much of the credit as they need. And so what I've asked is that that $1,100 be raised. I'm reasonable about it, and I recognize that with only two of us really pushing for it hard in the Senate, our leverage is lessened. But nonetheless, it needs to be more than the $1,100.
Well, I think we'll be there. He's really been a great guy and very supportive. I think that Senator Rubio will be there for sure. We're doing very well on the tax front. We have tremendous support. We have tremendous spirit. It'll be the largest tax cut in the history of our country. And I will say the Republican senators and congressmen and women have been incredible. So I think we will get there. It'll be in a very short period of time. It will be the greatest Christmas present that a lot of people have ever received. It'll be something special.
All right, as we continue, Steve Moore is with us, distinguished visiting fellow for the Project for Economic Growth at the Heritage Foundation. All right, so let's talk about the one issue that seems to be coming up, and it seems to hit home where we live in New York. I kind of expect I'm going to pay more, and I'm going to pay more because I can't deduct my state income tax at 10%, and I'm not going to be able to deduct, you know, local taxes that I would like to you know, deduct. But isn't it true that red states that elect governors that are fiscally responsible, that don't even have state income taxes, haven't they artificially been floating these blue states for a long time?
There's no doubt about it. So right now, there's no way California or New York City would be able to have a 13.5% income tax rate if it weren't for the fact that you get to write off 40% of that off your federal taxes. This is going to have a couple of very positive effects. Number one, you think a lot of people are moving from New York and Connecticut, New Jersey to Florida now. Wait until we do this. You know, the advantage of those states like, Florida, Tennessee, Texas, Nevada, New Hampshire, you're going to, amazingly, did you know in the last 10 years, a million more Americans came to Florida than left Florida. A million more Americans came to Texas than left Texas. But here's what's amazing. A million more Americans left California than came into California. That's never happened before in history.
It's
all taxes.
It's all taxes, but look at the wealth, the total net worth of people. I read a statistic in the Star Ledger in New Jersey. It is billions of dollars that have left that state.
Yep.
Billions. So their tax
base. There was one billionaire who left. It was either Connecticut or New Jersey. A year or two ago, said, I'm finally fed up with the taxes. And just by that one billionaire leaving, it put a $50 million hole in the state budget.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and so, by the way, now I know why John Bon Jovi and Bruce Springsteen, they only buy farms. They're farmers, according to them, and their property isn't taxed at the usual rate. I don't think they're out there, you know, with their hoes or, you know, their tractors doing any farming on a regular basis. So that seems like a loophole that a lot of people have. But for the average person, and this is important, I think, what will they expect in terms of what their tax benefit? That's all people want to know. How does it impact me? Yeah. And they deserve to know. Tell them.
The most important thing for, you know, bus drivers and school teachers and veterans and, you know, people who, you know, are not rich is we're going to give you a much more prosperous economy with far more jobs, better pay. You know, it's been 15 years since the average middle class person had a pay raise in this country.
Unbelievable.
It's about time.
They deserve it.
And this is going to create a tighter job market. And what happens when you get a tighter job market? People can look around. They have more choices. It's going to bid up wages. The main thing, and Trump said this yesterday in his speech, we believe the average worker will see a $4,000 increase in their wage and salary.
That is massive.
That's gigantic.
That's just massive. All right. Steve Moore, you're doing great work.
We're so close, Sean. We're so close.
You got to get it over the finish line, all right?
We're on that 1/2 yard line.
All right, appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. When we come back on this Thursday, wide open telephones, straight ahead on the Sean Hannity Show.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
And most importantly, I never sent classified material on my email, and I never received any that was marked classified. So I'm going to let whatever this inquiry is go forward, and we'll, you know, await the outcome of it. The State Department has confirmed what I just said to you, but I do think that if you look at the Republicans in Congress, the ones running for president, there is an unfortunate tendency to try to make partisan a tragedy in Benghazi, which I just fundamentally disagree with. I don't think it's right, and I will not participate in it. So we'll see how this all plays out, but it's not anything that people talk to me about as I travel around the country. It is never raised in my town halls. It is never raised in my other meetings with people. What difference at this point does it make?
All right, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour. What we're really learning is that everything you just heard was a total and complete lie.
You know, Sean, I don't really think that's completely fair, that everything that she said is a lie. I think she certainly made some misstatements. And as we have seen in the course of that investigation, where there were three emails with partial markings for classified information, and I think about 100 that were, in fact, contained classified information, out of about 30,000 that were sent over to the Department of Justice for this. But what she was talking about as it related to partisanship, I think, had some ring of truth. And actually, Kevin McCarthy in 2015 said to you, and actually slipped up saying that her poll numbers were dropping, and then in some ways the Benghazi, the investigations were having the intended effect for the Republicans.
You know, so I have to disagree with you on that, Danielle, to the fact of this. I think when we listen to this, and I'm looking at this not from a conservative liberal standpoint, I'm looking at this from a law enforcement standpoint. What I heard in that whole thing right there was lies, justice that have been obstructed, espionage with the use of the computers. She's referring to all these things, but in different lights. Misuse of government property and information, and extreme negligence. You know, she actually talked about the reason why she had those computers and the way she was doing things was for convenience at the beginning of that soundbite. Yeah. The reality is, I worked in government for 20 years. Nothing is convenient for a government worker. We don't work on convenience. We work to secure the information and do the job. And I think, you know, while we debate whether or not Hillary Clinton or President Trump, if you're liberal or conservative and the politics of it, we're missing the criminality. And I think the same thing can be said about all these people at the head of the DOJ and the FBI.
Look, I'm going to push back a little bit. I think what's happening right now, particularly as it relates to these two, the lawyer for the FBI and the agent for the FBI, I know that there's been a lot of, you know, blowback in conservative media about the content of some of these text messages. And I'm actually interested, because you were in the New York office of the FBI, interested mm-hmm. in your thoughts on what these people thought, but also the tendency for FBI agents to kind of to be conservative. Like, we find in law enforcement that FBI, you know, Border Patrol, DHS, a lot of times you do see a larger proportion of Republicans. It's, you know, if you go on, if you're a liberal, you're going to go and work for the Environmental Protection Agency. So I think there are some real issues here. And if there were people within the agency who were setting the president up, we need to find out about that. But I think we do need to be a little bit careful, because these are, you know, people who work, you know, across administrations and through administrations. And typically these guys tend to be Republican.
You see that is the problem there. When you're absolutely right, they work in administrations and through administrations,
right.
But
yeah.
the people on the ground, you know, we don't do that. That's not how we work. The reality is, the people on the ground serve the Constitution, the American people, for a career. The people at the top, what they're doing is they're ladder climbing. Once they get to the senior executive level, they basically are working for whoever is in charge. But in this case, what differentiates this is that there's literally, I think, plenty of proof that a group of people at the top are working together and had worked together last year Strzok, or however you say the guy's name, Strzok.
It's Peter Strzok. I'll help you out. By the way, what's the insurance policy, Jonathan, if not they have a plan to screw the president that they hate so much?
And you know what that's called? That's called interference. Just like they keep accusing the Russians and Trump of being involved with, Sean, I believe from an investigative standpoint, there is plenty of evidence to bring RICO statutes and show the actual criminal enterprise that has been functioning for the purpose of furthering a criminal act, which is to get Hillary Clinton elected in a false and nefarious way. And I think there's plenty of information out there and evidence to show that they were doing this. And all you have to have is two different crimes committed by the group. It doesn't have to be the whole group doing it together, but people working in a group committing two or more crimes for that specific reason in the furtherance of their criminal enterprise, that's a RICO crime.
Johnson, what are the crimes? What are the crimes?
How about a conspiracy to influence an election? How about you know, people using the powerful tools of the FBI and the intelligence community as a means of preventing somebody from getting elected?
But what evidence do we have that the
I could tell you what evidence we have. I could tell you right now.
Clinton.
Peter Strzok and James Comey were writing Hillary's exoneration letter before they ever did the investigation. Does that sound legal to you?
James Comey wrote a letter to Congress on October 11th, which basically
No, in May he was writing the exoneration before her interview on July 4th.
And at the end of the year, FBI...
They already wrote the exoneration.
You know what? Jim Comey is a guy who has worked across administrations, which is something that...
And
Jonathan
James
and
Comey leaked
about.
Intelligence for the very... or private information with the president for the sole purpose of getting a special counsel. Are you going to tell me that these people, with their pro-Hillary, anti-Trump bias, that they're planning, in their own words, in their own way, a plan B, an insurance policy to make sure the guy that helped exonerate Hillary, you're telling me this doesn't sound stink to high heaven in your mind? Are you kidding me?
I think that you think that these people have far more power than they actually do. Acting FBI Director Wray gave $39,000 to Republicans. Rachel Brandy, a deputy AG, gave $36,000 to Republicans. Jeff Sessions, Republican appointee. There are plenty of people.
Okay, Jeff Sessions, excuse me, but not on Mueller's team. There's one donor that did something, and it was not didn't donate to Trump. You have 8 of the 16 donating to Democrats. You got one guy, Andrew Weissman, that put people in jail, but that was overturned. He put tens of thousands of people out of work with a phony obstruction of justice case that was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court 9-0. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned this guy.
The idea that these people...
He's held back exculpatory evidence in cases. It's proven.
Look, I understand how you feel, and I understand that you're concerned about these allegations against the president, but there is an OIG investigation right now into this agent and to this lawyer, and I think that's the best thing. So this OIG inspector will get to the bottom of these text messages. We have 375 out of 10,000. If there is wrongdoing here, I stand with you, Sean. Let's get to the bottom of it. But right now, this is just casting aspersions against these people. These people criticize Martin O'Malley, John Kasich, Eric Holder, Bernie Sanders, as well as Trump. They had political opinions. I don't like it, but we got to get to the bottom of it and give them some due process.
Okay. How long does the due process have?
That's a good question. Internal investigations can take months. Both of them are off the Mueller probe. That's appropriate.
What is your answer, Jonathan?
We have to look at the totality of circumstances for all these things. And saying that somebody criticizes one candidate or another versus actually carrying out acts to keep another person from being elected. Those are totally different. Subversive people criticize and stand out in the open and make it look like they're doing one thing for one person, and then they're doing something completely different for another. And I think if we look at the totality of the circumstances and we stop giving – here's one thing we got to stop doing, and I hear this a lot with you, Danielle, and I don't mean to disrespect here. We got to stop giving these people the benefit of a doubt. They should be held to the highest level of scrutiny, because I know men and women that have lost their job in the Bureau for something as ridiculous as $57 on a travel claim that they overestimated, and they were told to overestimate it, lost their job. Another guy who was fired from the Bureau, brought up on 4 felony charges, and then exonerated and given his job back after they tried to ruin his life because he went into our ACS, that's the computer system, to find a former source that was closed so he could get some football tickets. Now, if they're held to that scrutiny, why aren't we holding these people to that scrutiny and forget about this? We should give them this. We should give them that benefit of a doubt. They work for the government. They should be held to the standard. And if they break any of the laws or policies or procedures, they should be held to the highest punishment possible.
Look, I actually agree with you, Jonathan, and I have not worked within the FBI, but I've worked opposite the FBI in internal investigations as a defense attorney, and I hold these guys and women in the highest regard. The same for U.S. attorneys and state assistant attorneys general. I would honestly rather deal with a government attorney than an attorney in private practice because their ethical obligations are just that much higher. All I'm saying is there is an investigation, and we need to get to the end of the investigation. Sure, I know.
But Danielle, you didn't deal with.
I believe in the process.
Let me just say this, though: you didn't deal with, in your court cases, you didn't deal with the highest echelon. Those aren't the people that are in court. You dealt with ground pounders, the people at the highest top of the administration in the DOJ and the FBI. Those people got there because they did what they needed to do to get there, and that is not good cases. The majority of these people are not heroes from the court system. These are people that climbed the ladder and said what they had to say, kissed the right behinds, and they got in a position of authority. That is the problem, is that there's a sickness, a cancer in all these agencies, that these are the people that get to the top. They're not the ones that you're talking about, and they cannot be trusted. We should not trust them.
All right, I got to take a break right there. We'll come. No, not trust them. We now have enough evidence to show that this team is abusively biased and corrupt at a profound level. It's unbelievable. I can't believe this is the United States of America and this is our justice system. It's unreal. And you add Sarah Carter's big breaking developments on unmasking and surveillance. It's disgusting. All right, as we continue, Jonathan Gillum and Danielle McLaughlin are with us. 800-941-SHAWN, our toll-free telephone number. You know, remember back in September, you had a Boston elementary school librarian rejected Melania Trump and her donation of Dr. Seuss books because the librarian claimed that they were racist? You know, I mean, you can't make this stuff up either. Now, another Boston so-called pseudo-academic is now saying, and by the way, this time from Boston University, wants people to stop singing Jingle Bells during the Christmas season because Jingle Bells is racist. The history of the song has remained hidden behind its local and season affection, he said. She continued saying that the song's, quote, blackface racist origins have been subtly, systematically removed from its history, and that the song is a secret racist past. All right, Danielle, I'll let you tackle that.
You know what? I think even as a liberal, sometimes liberals get a bit crazy. And we can explore this intellectually, but the idea that we should stop singing Jingle Bells is utterly ridiculous to me. There are plenty of things that we live and we talk about and we sing in our daily lives that have historic, things that in their history that are problematic, just because our history itself is problematic. But I think this is a bridge too far, and I just think that, you know, my three-year-old loves the song. We can think about it intellectually, but this, like, ridiculous PC-ness is going to kill us.
Jonathan? You know, Sean, Don, you know, first of all, I love Danielle's accent. She makes me sound even more dumb than I am when she speaks.
Never.
don't say that to her because that forget it. You're insulting her. I can't let you do that. It's
no,
Christmas
I'm giving
season.
Her a compliment. I'm
oh my gosh!
I'm from the South, you know. But listen, here's the deal. What happened to the day and age when somebody would say something like that, and we would just say that's an idiot, and we just move on? You know. Why do we give these people press? That the news will write up stories on this, and I don't know what's more unbelievable, the fact that somebody would do this or the fact that people rally around them. And, you know, Sean, I was on your show last week or earlier this week. We're talking about my book, Sheep No More, and then I go on and Media Matters and these other groups, they do this. They bring up this nonsense, and they try to get people rallied up. But when you look at the comments below those sections, it is,
why do you even read that stuff? Well, let me guess. They took your words totally out of context, and they twisted it into a pretzel.
I read it because I'm trying to grasp the mindset of these leftists, and I can't get it.
No, you can't grasp the mindset of people that have an ideology and a political agenda, and that agenda is to use any means necessary to silence the voices they disagree with. They're the biggest, you know, anti-free speech, pro-censorship group in the country. I mean, and I, you know, this is what I deal with every time they try to, they totally purposely take words out of context all the time.
The vitriol that I see when you say something great is unbelievable. But here's what I've noticed about all this, and I think this is where we can stand, and I think this conversation with Danielle proves that, is if we all unite against this nonsense, we stand against them. They're very united in the way that they spit out this nonsense. That's the only thing they have going for them. But it's so ridiculous that it's laughable. And I think the more you ignore them, they go away.
I got to leave it there. Merry Christmas to both of you. And we'll let Danielle sing Jingle Bells tomorrow.
I can't sing it now. I'm all teed up and ready to go.
We'll save that for tomorrow. All right. 800-941-SHAWN. When we come back, wide open telephones. We got an incredible Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Hope you'll join us. Quick break. Right back. We'll continue. That's your own New Yorker voice, la-la-lying over there. Hey, Miss Christmas Sunshine, I got a question for you. So, you know, you actually did this song and wrote this song and produced this song at a time when you absolutely hated people. You had a hate list back then in the day.
And lucky for you, that hate list has now dispersed.
But that nobody had a hate list like this and fa-la-la-la-la like that. That just doesn't happen.
You know, that is one of the crafts of being in the trade of artistry. You know, you need to fake it till you make it.
She's a woman. She can multitask.
All right, can we stop with the blood sisterhood over here? And for people that missed the day we did a Facebook live show, that was the day that Lauren got engaged to Linda's brother. And they were dating behind Linda's back for a while, never told her. And I knew I knew before she did, which is like a rarity around this building.
And I'll never hear the end of it.
No, it's not a matter of hearing the end of it. I mean, do we know when the wedding date is?
It's to be determined.
Do we have a bout?
She's still considering if she really wants to become a McLaughlin. It's a big decision. Very big.
Oh, no, so you may dump him?
To logistics.
Just logistics. Let me guess. You're getting married in New Jersey. I'm just guessing.
Potentially.
Potentially
the city of brotherly love.
Oh, really? Maybe, really?
Or your backyard.
You can have my... If I do it in my backyard, I'll save a lot of...
I thought we'd do it here on set. I thought it'd be so...
Yeah, you want to do it on... We can do an on-air wedding.
And you could...
No. And we could do it like the Today Show does. Yeah, I'll officiate. And we could do it like the Today Show does. You know, the Today Show, they end
up... We don't watch fake news.
All right.
Yeah, sorry. I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. Back in the day when I watched fake news, they would have these couples that they'd walk through the process, picking out the dress. You can, like, let the audience make the final decision on everything. The dress, where we're going to have the wedding, whether you should get married, whether you should dump him.
She already picked her dress. It's the American flag crafted with lace.
It's not the American flag.
God,
seriously?
You remember that Joyce Villa dress? She wore, like, the big Trump flag.
I remember.
Pretty much... I'm channeling that.
We'll make a MAGA dress, we'll call it. And why not let the audience help?
No, it's got a long veil.
Can I finish my thought?
There's like a train, and all on the train is
mega. My thought is this. Let's let the audience decide what dress she wears.
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because a dress is a very personal thing. And if you haven't noticed, she's very fashion forward.
We'll give them options that she could live with. How's that? As a matter of, how about we'll have a
those pictures are forever, my friend. You're not.
We'll have a Jason option. We'll have an Ethan option. We'll have a Hannity option.
Okay, so Jason's is going to be bedazzled. Ethan's is going to have like a sledgehammer. You know, mine's going to have something New York, maybe something coffee stained.
Oh my gosh, what's mine going to be?
I don't know, black. Because that's all you wear is black, so it'll be a black dress.
You know what I like about wearing black shirts? I don't have to think. I get up in the morning, I put on a black shirt and jeans. It's a piece of cake.
You channel your inner Johnny Cash. It's very important.
It's not inner Johnny Cash. And somebody told me that, you know, it looks like you wear the same shirt every day. I'm like, if I wore the same shirt every day...
We would all know.
You would all know. It gets cleaned. And I have like 10 versions of it.
That's right. You're very, it's a lot of variety going on there.
Well, I had an intervention a few years ago, and nobody's really noticing yet. So the intervention was my family threw them out. Isn't that
I like the black.
Thank you. Do you like, but every day is too much.
No. It's dark times.
It's dark times. Well, they're getting brighter.
Well, it's also a very slimming color, so.
Sir, this is a week out of bonus week.
We had a whiplash sound, a week out of bonus week, and you're
starting in already.
By the way, bonuses don't have to come.
You know, ninjas do wear black, so it is appropriate.
Right. But back to Sunshine in the corner back there, J.C. Owen. You know, bonuses aren't mandated. I don't have to give bonuses. And you didn't wait a day this year. The day after you got your bonus, you're attacking me.
Stop whining. I mean, geez, I just made a simple little quip that you're a little chunky. That's all.
First of all, I have to come to Sean's defense. He's not chunky anymore. All know he's skinny.
It's muscle.
He's
filled with cream filling.
I
am not manorexic.
You are manorexic.
Just because I'm on Nutrisystem doesn't mean
you
I'm
are manorexic.
Manorexic.
Just own it.
It's
and
not
move
working
on.
Anymore. It's stopped working. I'm
it's
frustrated.
It's totally working. You're so thin.
No, I'm telling you.
You have nothing left to lose.
You're
that's the problem.
You're falling away to nothing.
Yeah, right. But that's because you're heavier than I am, so you want to feel better about yourself by telling me I've gotten skinnier.
I'm very
happy with myself and my pizza and my heroes when I see you eating gross stuff.
Let's go to, big time AJ. Houston, Texas. What's up, Santa Claus? How are you?
Big time Sean Hannity.
What's going on, baby?
Real quick. Merry Christmas to all of you guys there. And Linda, thanks for that last first of all. I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh. I love it when she say that. I just love it.
you hang out long enough with her, you're going to be saying it the exact same way.
I love the way she says it, Sean. It's just, I'm going to make me a T-shirt.
And what's it going to say?
If it's okay.
First of all. But you got to spell it out in New York fashion.
Exactly. You know how I am with my words. You know how I use them crazy words. So that is perfect.
Listen, I want to say Merry Christmas to you. I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. You're one of our greatest callers of all time. You're just such a great human being, and we love you, AJ.
Back at you, Big Sean, and the hard work you do, and all your girls there, and all the staff, Jason, everybody. Y'all are the best. Don't let nobody tell y'all no different. Hey,
thank you.
To the idiots.
They know who they are. Yes, go ahead.
You already know. And I ain't going to go off because Trump is in there and economy doing good. I'm telling the Republican establishment to get your crap together because we're not blaming Donald Trump. We see what my man doing. We see what Trump doing, but we also seeing what y'all not doing. You're lying to us, and we put y'all there for a reason to do a job. You failed us on Obamacare. And dagnabbit, 2018, hey, we're going to put somebody in there that want to do the job. If y'all don't want to do the job, get out of there. Don't waste our time and don't waste our money. And that's enough for them idiots right there, Big Time Sean.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you. AJ, we love you. Merry Christmas, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas, guys.
All right. Ho, ho, ho. La, la, la. Fa, la, la. Don in Lake Ronkonkoma, the all-new AM 710 WOR. What's up, Don? How are you, my friend? Welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sean. I just want to, I know the Christmas season's coming up for you and you usually take some time off. And I want to ask you, how are you going to relax? Because I know for a fact you don't know how to relax. You're going to be up at 5:30. You're going to be checking the news. You're going to be checking the wires. You're not going to.
It's very hard. I'm not good at it. I'm not going to lie to everybody. I am not good at it. And I'm really going to try this year to be on. I'm like focusing on that. I'm only going to look at my phone like twice a day. I'm going to try and set that rule. I'm going to try not to text all my friends. But this, you want to know what I do? This is my routine. You really want to hear it?
Yep.
All right. I get up early, as you said, and I stay up late, and I get up early. And what I try to do, I'm not a golfer, but I usually play golf a couple of times on vacation. And I like to be the first one out because I can't stand waiting while some guy, stands over a putt for 400 hours thinking it's the U.S. Open. Drives me nuts.
Me too.
And if
me
I hit
too.
The ball out of bounds, I drop another ball. Hit that out of bounds, I'll drop another one. I don't care. And then so I do that. Then I usually come home. I'll do my training while I'm gone. I'm going to probably hit the bag and do my core work that I do every day. Then everybody likes to hang out at the beach. I hate the beach, so I'll go say hello, see if my son wants to play beach football. I'm the quarterback. And if he does, I'll play football. If not, then I'll go for a bike ride. Then I take a nap. And then I stuff my face, go home, and watch Netflix. That's what I'm going to do.
There
That's
you
it.
Go.
That's my whole vacation.
Well, just two things, Sean. I want to let Lauren pick out her own dress.
Oh, and I'll go fishing. We have our big fishing trips that we go on. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Great. Post pictures of that. But I want to thank you, too, for another incredible talk radio year.
Thank you.
You give us news, and the mainstream media just refuses to give us, and I wanted to thank you again for that.
Don, I can't do it without you, all of you. You know, there were at least, what, five separate attacks this year to get me fired.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Every single time, the only reason I'm still here is because of all of you in this audience and our great advertisers that cannot and will not be intimidated. If I do something wrong, I'll admit it. But they are just, they want to silence our voices. They can't stand it.
You should see the heat I get on Twitter defending you and your work.
You can't read.
I love
Don, you're gonna get in a rubber room if you keep reading that crap. Trust me.
I know, but I can take the punches. I'm used to it.
Well, that's one thing. I don't mind taking the punches. There's nothing that hasn't been said about me over the years that, you know, isn't going to be said 1,000 times more. I don't care. I don't have that switch anymore that it matters to me what liberals and other people think of me. I care about my audience. I care about the truth. I care about my country, family, God. And you know, it's pretty simple in my life at this point.
Well, God bless you, my friend.
All right. God bless you. Have a great Christmas. Merry Christmas to your whole family. 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. Pam is in Hampton, Virginia. What's up, Pam? How are you? Merry Christmas.
Hi there. I am.
And happy Hanukkah. It's Hanukkah right now.
Yep. Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, and best of the 2018 to you.
You too.
I just have a quick question. I am like the average person, and I am sick to death of the Mueller, the Comey, the Pelosi, the Waters, and there doesn't seem to be an answer. It just goes round and round and round and round. And as an average person, there doesn't seem to be anything that we can control or we can do to help. The only voice we have is you. And it helps tremendously knowing that you're out there. But is there anything else?
I can tell you, look, the wheels of justice, you've heard, and I hate cliches.
I know.
They move slowly. Look, there's more that I know that I'm not telling that I know is coming. And this is not a tease. This is not me, you know, saying it for the sake of saying it. I know these things are coming. I know them. So you're just going to have to stay with us and understand this is like unpeeling layers of an onion. There's a million layers in there, but we're going to peel the onion and we're going to get to the root of all of this. And I will tell you that where this is headed, this is going to go down as worse than Watergate in this country by a long shot. And I know the media won't get there. And even when we get there, they'll say, oops, missed it. And then they'll move on to their next Trump hating obsession, whatever it happens to be. But there are layers to this story and these stories, plural, that are deep and profound and corrupt and dishonest. And very, very chilling if you believe in our constitutional republic. And frankly, I feel it's, you know, this is what now my mission is and my job is to get to the truth and do the job they won't do. I'm honored to have it. I'm honored to be standing with every one of my irredeemable, deplorable friends that cling to their God, guns, Bibles, and religion. Now, I'm proud of that. I'm proud to be that former construction work hack that Alec Baldwin once called me. And I promise you, when it collapses, it's going to be a dramatic collapse, very dramatic, but it's going to happen.
Good. We trust you. We trust you implicitly. We trust Trump. We are thankful for you guys.
Well, I'm thankful for you. I can't do the show. You guys keep me on the air. If I don't have audience ratings, if I don't have advertisers, I'm not on the air. That's why so many are trying so hard to silence my voice, but really they're trying to silence all our voices. This isn't about one person or me. I gave a speech. I was very honored I got this Impact Award. I won't tell you everybody was there. It was full of wonderful people, and I was one of many honorees that night, that day. And I said something. I said, listen, every one of us has a solemn duty and honor that we're all a spoke in a wheel, and you need every spoke in the wheel to make the wheel go around. And if you're missing a spoke, you know, you can only miss so many spokes and it doesn't go around anymore. And for those of us that know truth, that love this country, we have an obligation to fight for it and get things right. And, you know, that's what, you know, it's so funny. People don't understand me in the left-wing media. I try to say that to the New York Times guy again and again. You guys in the media don't understand what motivates me. I'm not talking about men, Americans in poverty and out of food stamps and out of the labor force and can't buy their first home just to hear myself talk, or debt to hear myself talk. I'm doing it because we're on the wrong path. And for those of us that know, it's our obligation to fight to get us on the right path so that, you know, other dishwashers like I was in my life, you know, can see their dreams come true. I've had my dreams come true. Anyway, 800. But now it's a matter of we got an obligation here. These are rough times, man. I'm telling you, this is not a game for these people. They want to destroy this president. It's an obsession of theirs. All right, we got major breaking news tonight, as Sarah Carter just was trying to explain earlier in the program today. You don't want to miss that. Also, we have the special treatment, the text messages revealed, the media bias on the Mueller probe, and Mueller's conflicts of interest. You're not going to hear about this anywhere. Tom Fitton and his discovery of the special deal with the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton to hide things. Newt Gingrich joins us tonight. He'll be on the program. Also, we'll talk about Mueller's partisan witch hunt with Dan Bongino, Geraldo, and Jessica Tarlow. That's all tonight, and that's coming up at 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Thanks for being with us. See you back here tomorrow, and see you tonight on TV.